Ahead and open our Bibles tonight. For those who thought we were going to finish in Philippians tonight, I don't think so. But I'm thankful to God that, he just continues to feed us, and what a sweet Lord. And just to be patient, we could never exhaust it anyways. And I thank Him by His Spirit, preaching the truth in love that it's just edifying to us, and praise God we grow up into Him in all things. But last week, I believe we left off with, I pray we're really getting a heart visual of this, that the Word of God is alive and it's working today. But I'm talking about the heart visual of Brother Paul and how he was just basking truly in the truth and love that's abounding in these Philippian saints. And remember this, here's a man in the depth of man's most probably vile prison that there could be. And yet the only prisoner he always was, by the grace of God, was the prisoner of the love of Jesus Christ. He wasn't moved. He was thankful. He got to the point, brothers and sisters, where that breath at that moment, at that place, was the perfect will of God. And there wasn't anything more that he would want. There was nothing more that he needed than by God's grace to have Christ. And that was it. And thanks be to God that he realized to the Lord that it took that place and it took that time and it took all of those situations and circumstances around him to have him in that state of heart that he could praise God in all the fullness of glory that was going on in his life. And I pray that that would be a testimony to us. It's a testimony to me, by God's grace, that, there's uncomfortable times, brothers and sisters, and there's times when we truly are pressed out of measure, where we really are despairing of our own lives. We may feel very emptied at times. Something of, Lord, I don't even have a prayer. But praise be to God, we can always go to, Lord, Thou knowest. Lord, Thou knowest. Thou knowest that, first of all, You love me, and in that, praise be to God, You have put that love in my heart for You. But I'm so thankful to God that all of these years of experience of this faith and love are now culminating in this testimony, and it's really a final testimony of Brother Paul here. And I do believe this is reaffirming that what he says in 2 Timothy 4:6-8, where he claims, by God's grace, I have finished. Praise the Lord to be able to say that. I have won him. And praise God, I am ready to be offered. And it's wonderful, brothers and sisters, that this same crown of rejoicing, this same joyful finish, this same life of it is well, that same life, praise God, is being offered to us by grace through faith today. And I'm thankful to the Lord that we see that God had put this precious vessel in a place where he truly could have been despairing of his own life. But praise the Lord, this was the place and the only place that God could bring the joy book of the Bible through this brother. And it's just, it's unbelievable, it's unfathomable. Only God could do this. Only God could send his only begotten Son, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, to be born in a lowly manger. Only God. Praise his name. Man could never write this stuff. We know that. This is the divine word of God. And it's always the way that we wouldn't have gone. It's always the thoughts that we never would have had, because his ways and his thoughts are not ours. And brothers and sisters, but you think about this. The name here of these saints, again, means the lovers of the race, the horses. And it's God's absolute desire that we run well. It's his absolute, he's focused on this. This is what he's planned, and this is what he's provided, and he's given us the power, every provision, to finish as this dear brother did with a full joy. But tonight, praise God, we're going into verse 18, and let's go ahead and read that together. So that's chapter 4, Philippians, verse 18. It says, "But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God." Now again, as it was prefaced, and we've been talking about this all the way through, this brother makes the statement, I have all. And let me tell you, in that statement, there's a lot to it. Matter of fact, it's going to take eternities to come to really, and won't exhaust it, what that fullness and what that all is that he's talking about. But what that means is there was nothing lacking. We're talking about a seed that remaineth, the life that has been blessed with all the spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ, that has, praise God, been fully made manifest in this brother. And he's praising the Lord in the depth of this pit, and he's saying, I've got it all. Praise God, I've got it made because I've got Christ. Where are we at today? I hear a lot of murmuring out there. And sometimes, can you imagine, even sometimes from this vessel, oh God, help me. Who are we? Well, we're beloved of him. And he's bringing us through these things, and he's trying us. And again, he's proving his love and his faithfulness in our lives. But praise the Lord that Brother Paul is saying here, I'm growing up, and I'm growing up into him in all things. The evidence of perfect love is coming forth. His mature and all-believing love, the Father, thy will be done message is coming into my heart. And it's blossoming in my life to all the fullness of God. This I have all can also be interpreted, I have received all. All the freely given grace, praise God,'s been apprehended. Can you imagine this brother just rejoicing in the depth of that prison? I took all the things that were offered of the Holy Spirit, all the things of Christ, and praise God, by grace, they're mine. They're mine. I haven't missed the mark. Praise God. I allowed the workman to have his reign in me. See, God's grace has had me be still and receive, and all the confidence by his grace has come forth for the ultimate payoff that I am like him. And brothers and sisters, as we move to that next part of abounding, we will never abound. We will never truly abound till you have all. And you've heard me say that many times of Paul's alls. You think about all truth. You think about all the fullness of God. You think about all the spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ. All after all after all. And this is the third time we're going to read about this abounding in this chapter. And this abounding that it's talking about, as he says here, but I have all and abound, this is exceeding beyond any known fixed number. This is an infinite abounding. This is an ever-expanding abounding. This is full and yet overflowing, continuing without ceasing, exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. You know, it's incredible to even think that God has given us all of something. But brothers and sisters, it's an all that never stops multiplying. It's an all that never ceases. It's an all that the next time you come back, it's more of all. It's just incredible. And that's where you know it's from God. And that's why you know it can only be God, because that's the way it is. And he's even given us a glimpse. I love how God, in his richness and his blessings to us, as man has always said, you know, some of the brainiacs have said for quite a long time, oh, everything increases at a decreasing rate. Didn't you know that that was one of the absolute laws of nature? Until they really looked out into outer space and they saw, my goodness, except for that, the universe is increasing at an increasing rate. And see, again, God just showing in little bits and pieces, he reveals himself in nature. He reveals his plan even in nature. And he's showing even that, brothers and sisters, the simplicity of how that's not hard for God. He just spoke that into existence and bang, it continues on and on and on. Well, what about the love of God? See, what about the exceeding riches of his grace in the ages to come in his kindness to us? There's never going to be any end to that. And it's not that it's only going to be any end. It's just going to grow greater and greater and greater. My head left the room. My heart left the room. I praise the Lord. I don't really have the capacity to grasp it, but by his grace, we have the Holy Spirit to believe it. Amen? Didn't he say, yea, the deep things of God by my Spirit? I love that. I'm so thankful. He could have just ended, and it would have been great to say, well, eye has not seen and ear heard, nor entered into the hearts of men what God has prepared for them that love him. And that would have been just fine. But he said, yeah, but by my Spirit. Huh? I love that. There's more, and he keeps telling you there's so much more. And we haven't even touched it. But what we have been able to touch, praise God, that wonderful virtue that's come out. Hallelujah. How immense. And this brother is expressing truly the heart that only the Holy Spirit can express. And you know what, brothers and sisters, sometimes, and I appreciate this, and often I'm not good with words. And how could you even think that you're good with words when you're trying to explain God anyways? Let the Holy Spirit just do it. Let the Word of God do it. This was the Word of God doing it in Paul. These weren't Paul's words. This is the Holy Spirit. This is God's Word. And God's Word speaks through us by His grace as we receive it. And this same outcrying in our hearts, brothers and sisters, is the same cry that was in Brother Paul that God can place in that. Is praise the Lord, I have all. Praise His name. I'm so thankful. I have Jesus. I have all. But you can say, well, what do you mean you have all? Well, I have all and it's ever expanding. I have all and praise God, it's abounding. And I'm thankful to the Lord. These are the things that God is bringing in our life too. And it is the same working and it is the same heart and it is the same Spirit, praise God, that does it all. But brothers and sisters, we have to understand that God... in the ages to come, in the exceeding riches of His grace, in His kindness, it's never going to end. And praise the Lord, He's bringing us into some of that fellowship right now. But then He goes on, and He says, but I have all, and I abound, and praise the Lord, I am full. And this full, as He says here, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. See, this fellowship with these saints, brothers and sisters, this is what God is, He's touching us with here. This fellowship even brought more of the fullness. It brought more of the abounding. It wasn't the people, it was Christ in them. It's Christ in us that's doing this. And it's the same Christ that was in the Philippian saints that was magnified and magnifying Paul's spirit in him. It feeds and it builds. Its glory begats glory. And it was so wonderful as Paul is becoming even more and more full as he's sitting in everything that's against him in this dungeon, in this prison, but yet the joy that was hitting his heart. There was more abounding. There was more fullness. But this word, I am full, also means a completeness. His soul was rejoicing in part till we all come in these saints. Isn't that what's going on here a little bit? Don't you think that we're starting to truly, really, we're in a race. And we're a body, and it's us in Christ. And my goodness, I want you to run well, and I know you want me to run well. And I want to finish with joy with you. I want us to win Christ. This is what was so beautiful with Paul. He was seeing this life, this message grow up. This is his body. This is the bride of Christ coming forth. I just sit there and I marvel at what God's doing in our assembly, what God has allowed us to partake and to understand. Brothers and sisters, this word is being made manifest in lives here today. And this is incredible stuff. And that's why, you know, even on, I guess it was Monday, the days, I don't even know what days it, but at that memorial service for Brother Baldwin, just the urgency that God put on my heart. That love, brothers and sisters, it's brotherly love. And brotherly love, the evidence of it is love unto all saints. And it's a passion. It's not just I love for all saints. It's the love to all saints. There's an expression there that it's not just word. No, it's in deed and in truth. You can't help. You can't help but extend a right hand of fellowship. You can't help but greet one another with a kiss. You love Christ. You love souls. And you love that Christ in somebody because it's Christ in you that does. And praise the Lord that that's what's being magnified and that's what's going on. There's a maturing in the people of God that truly are going to be ready for the first trump. But brothers and sisters, I believe this was a shadow of the completeness to come in the bride, a finishing, a victory specifically of the testimony reported by this Epaphroditus of these Philippian saints. And this fullness, this completion was Paul's desire. And we read about it back over here in chapter 2 and verse 25. Go back and read that with me, Philippians 2:25. And he says this about Epaphroditus. Yet I supposed it necessary to send you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor and fellow soldier. And as you go back over all those words, and we studied that, I mean, we're talking yoke fellow, we're talking oneness, we're talking knit together in love as truly husband and wife here again. This is that precious body within the body. This is the body of the bride of Christ that he's talking about, that him and this brother had been mended into. But your messenger and he that ministered, listen to this, Epaphroditus ministered to my wants. And what were those wants, brothers and sisters? The unsearchable riches of Christ. That's what Paul wanted. That's what Paul wanted for himself. That's what Paul wanted for others. It was Christ in him, and it was insatiable. It went everywhere. Praise God. It was magnified in that love that was in this brother. I think about how we'll read as we go over and look at in Timothy as well, too, as he said, you know, I'd like to have my coat. I'd like to have some things. But, you know, if you forget all that, just don't forget the Word of God. Bring me the Word. And praise the Lord, this wonderful, wonderful word, these parchments that God was bringing to him, this is that same precious message that Epaphroditus that was ministering to the wants. And again, what was the want of Paul? That precious want of Paul, the unsearchable riches of Christ, Paul's gospel, the mystery of Christ in the church, the sunc hieronymus doctrine, see that's Ephesians 3:6, that the Gentiles should now be fellow heirs as husband and wife with Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something, he valued that brother. He loved that brother. That brother was going to stand and withstand, and having done all to stand, as we read about, that brother became sick nigh unto death. And God spared him so Paul wouldn't have sorrow upon sorrow. And he raised him up, and he was able to go and minister again. And I'm so thankful to God that, again, this precious message, this precious love, didn't just exist in Paul. No, it was in those vessels that would want and will to know. So the proof of Paul's gospel was brought back by this brother Epaphroditus. And the proof of it, brothers and sisters, as we read here, is the odor of sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, and well-pleasing to God. You talk about some goodly pearl time. You talk about spirit and truth worshiper time. And in Ephesians chapter 5, 2, it explains to us what this odor is, what this sweet smell, this sacrifice acceptable. And in Ephesians 5, 2, it says, and walk in love. Isn't that something? Does it say walk in judgment? Does it say to walk in, I'm going to walk this, or I'm going to, and it says to walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling Savior. So this is this walk of Christ. This is this sweet-smelling Savior, brothers and sisters. And you know what? This sweet smell is the walk of love. It's the love walk. And as I read about the love walk, all I can think about is this bride's aisle walk. I always love to think about this aisle. And I've seen many a bride come down here for their groom. And there's the aisle walk. There's the love walk all the way down in fervent love to kiss their wonderful waiting groom. And brothers and sisters, she's doing it now with the saints. That's exactly what's going on. She loves, she adores the body. She's dwelling together. Remember in the Old Testament where it says to dwell together? Settle down in marriage. Quit fussing. Enjoy one another. Enjoy the one that you have been made one with. See, that's maturity. That's the thankfulness of God. I've seen young couples, and I've seen it, and you have too. They just want to start off fussing. How about start off loving? And how about continue loving and quit thinking about all of the things of what we need and what we don't have and what we do have and all of that, and start realizing you have one another, you've got it all. And really it is. And God is bringing that that absolute reality and that truth with his son. We have Christ. We have it all. She loves the body as the head. And there is nothing more pleasing to God, brothers and sisters, than love that is perfected in the saints. Fully matured, readied wife saints. God thrills in that. That's what he wants. He wants to see his son grown up into these people in all things. He wants to see that life. There's nothing more precious to him. Many sons to glory. My goodness, we're going to talk about a glory here in a minute. But in Song of Solomon, chapter 5, verses 5 and 13, it goes on to explain a little bit more about this sweet-smelling love that is also full of myrrh. See, it's love, but it also has myrrh with it. See, suffering goes right along hand in hand with love. And only true love, brothers and sisters, will cause us to willingly suffer. If we suffer together, Jesus Christ tells us, we will be glorified together with him. When we love as he loved, we suffer as he suffered. And that's the truth. And it hurts, brothers and sisters. When we love great, there is great hurt in that love often. It's not received. People draw back. They're hurtful. There's lots of different things. It doesn't mean that we draw back our love. By God's grace, that love is always there. It's not ours anyways. It's the Lord's. And God's love is one thing. It's always consistent. It's always there. I love the consistency of our Savior. I love the consistency of our lover. It's always there. And it's always just so immense. It's always so sufficient. It's always so comforting. It's always so loving. But brothers and sisters, this love, it even groans, and the pain for the bodies are received in this love because the members suffer together with it. See, the reigning love comes through the suffering. Did you hear that? The reigning love? To rule and reign, there's a love that is a divine love. And that only comes through the knowledge and the experience of suffering together with him. See, a lot of people can think or know, well, I shouldn't say a lot of people, but think of young ones. They can think they understand marriage. They can think that they know what marriage is. Yeah, they're going to become husband and wife and they're going to go live away. The only way you know marriage is to enter into it. The only way you really know marriage is by God's grace to be a readied wife, to have that relationship going on right now. And God has called us into that, and that call is to suffer together with me. It won't happen any other way. And I'm thankful to God that he can bring us in that. And it's not the sufferings that are magnified. It's the privilege. It's the honor. And it is a joy to think, Lord, you love me like that, that you're bringing me into this fellowship. You're bringing me into this, praise God, this plan, this table, this supping, that someday by your grace, I can't imagine what it's going to be at all, but you tell me it's going to be exceeding beyond anything that we could ever ask or think, anything that we've ever seen, imagined, a heart, a desire. This is what God is going to do and perform in those that love him. But see, again, in this love that comes through suffering, the cross must be taken up. The crown, the ring, it must be by grace, again, by grace held fast. And someday soon, very soon, she will take her place in the midst of the throne as his glory with him. As his glory. Thanks be to God. The sufferings, they're not even worthy to be uttered or compared in this because of the place that God has in mind for her, that he sees and that he has given. But it goes on now in verse 19, and let's read this together. It says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And I love this as he says, but my God. See, this is personal. This is very personal. Is he your God? I mean, your God. See, he knew that this was their God too. But this is a statement, brothers and sisters. A statement as if he's saying, this is my husband. I know him. I have his very mind because we are one, because we converse together. He that wills to know will know. And he knows the will of God. Praise the Lord. And how simple it is that all men be saved and come to a full knowledge of the truth. But praise be to God, that's just the beginning. And how, praise him, so simple, but yet how deep. But he says, my God shall, but my God shall. Oh, I love it when God shall. See, when God shall, there's no stopping it. Isn't that wonderful? It hits you, it comes like a freight train. We just know it. As I was thinking today, I was again being pressed, a lot of things going on, but I appreciated that little placard that my grandfather had that my aunt gave me in his home. As thy days, so shall thy strength be. And I'm so grateful to God. I don't worry about tomorrow. Yesterday is gone. And today, praise the Lord, I have full strength. I have full sufficiency. I know my God has met every single need. And this is this personal relationship that Paul has so sweetly with God. My God shall supply. Now you think about this word supply here, brothers and sisters. It means to fill up. It means to overflow. It means exceeding abundantly. It means complete. It means finish. It means cause to abound. It means grace in action. Praise God, we have grace in action in our lives when we believe Him. That's the love of God that comes forth, and that's the evidence of receiving grace. We can face these things. As Paul is here in this prison again, writing the joy book of the Bible, I ask us tonight, what are we facing that even in a way remotely compares to the pain and the anguish and a lot of the things that this brother was being tried with? Come on. But they're real to us. See, that's the same God that's dealing with us. It's still real to us. He knows the heartstrings. He knows what needs to be pulled on. He knows what needs to be tried and tested. And let's not make light of it. It didn't, in a sense, what I'm saying, compare to some of the things that this brother went to. But I will say this, it will bring forth the same thing as we trust God. He's got a perfect set of trials for me. He's got a perfect set of testings for you. I'm grateful to God that He knows us. I'm grateful to God that I don't need to add to it and I don't need to take away because I couldn't do it anyways. And praise the Lord, I just run the race that He has set before me. That course, praise God, I want to finish it by His grace. But it's mine, and you're going to have yours too. And thank the Lord that we don't compare them. No, we don't. We rejoice in one another that is the course, that's the perfect plan that God has set forth for us to run. And not just to run, and not just to finish, but to win with a joyful crowning. I'm thankful to God again for this Sunday. He has me thinking about the incorruptible crown. I'm so thankful to God that our steps, our strides, our life, our breath, it has purpose. It has meaning forever. It's not something that's just going to fade away. It's not a temporal glory. It's forever. It's everything. It's God's desire. It's Him being pleased that we have faith in His wonderful word. But see, brothers and sisters, He says that He shall supply. And see, when He supplies, you're going to realize that God makes it all happen. It's His will and it's His pleasure. He takes the lid off and He fills it up. It's grace upon grace upon grace upon grace. And even in this word supply, there's even more meaning here. It means to make perfect. See, this is the workmanship of His perfect desire. His desire is to bring forth mature sons. His desire is for us to grow up into Him in all things. His desire is for us to be filled with all the fullness of God. Think of these things that God desires. And as we sit here and this hits us, we could get kind of blown away and say, oh my goodness, how can this occur in my life? Grace, just as salvation. Is anything hard for God? Was it hard for God to save you? No. Was it hard for God to fill you with the Holy Spirit? No. Is it hard for God if you attain by His grace to the midst of the throne? No. It's all there. That life, that completeness, everything has been given to us to finish this. Not just to get through, but to rise up. And to soar, and to run well. And sure, there's a weariness in a way, but we don't weary in well-doing because it's the Spirit that carries us on. It's the Spirit, brothers and sisters, that encourages us. I am so thankful to God, as Brother David said, yes, I encourage myself in the Lord, but what is myself? It's Christ in me. I have to rely on that grace of Christ's life to encourage my life. It's that remembering all the time, Lord, I'm not my own. Christ Jesus lives in me. I know that faith and that love of the Father and that grace is there and that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me because He lives here. This is His domain. This is the temple of the living God. Isn't that just awesome to think that, Lord, there is nothing hard. God, you are for me. Who could be against me? I can't even be against myself because, praise the Lord, you have come to live and to reign in me. I'm thankful I can face, not tomorrow, face today. I won't forget about tomorrow. I'm looking for Jesus Christ to come today. And there are many fringe benefits about getting out of here today, as you all know. But it's the one thing to see him face to face. The one who's drawn me. The one that's been the faithful one in my life. The one who has abided faithful all the way through. The one has given grace upon grace to say, thank you, Lord, I did abide. By your grace, I did endure. By your grace, I didn't get knocked out by these things. I saw others go to the wayside, but thank you, Jesus. I know I wasn't better than anybody. I know I needed you just the same as anyone. But somehow, some way, by your grace, it got me. I don't know why. I don't know why. But you seized my heart. And I want to run. And all I can do is look to you. I don't know what tomorrow holds. But I know if he's there, if I'm there, he'll be there. Praise God. I know he will be. So hallelujah, brothers and sisters, that we can trust him. But see, what is our need? It's all of our need. And that's what it's saying here. My God shall supply all your need. And what is the need? It's him. It's his life. It's his power. And praise God, as this sister was encouraging my heart, how wonderful, according to. Aren't we thankful we have according to? I love that we have according to in the Word of God because it's always going to be him. It's a word that means measure for measure. It means fully. In Ephesians 4:13, I believe it explains it very clearly. It says, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. She will be like him. She will be like him in every way. The four living ones I rejoice in, brothers and sisters, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Jesus Christ explained fully, and praise be to God, she comes forth full of eyes, a vision within and without. Thanks be to God, she sees him for what he is, having the glory of God. She has so much light, which is him. They illuminate one another, and they illuminate one another now. I'm thankful to the Lord. There are lights in this world, and I'm looking at them tonight. And the reason that by God's grace there's any light, it's always because of Jesus. And the brighter that it shines, praise God, that means there's the less of you there. The greater that it emits its light, that means, praise the Lord, I'm becoming more and more like him. My life is getting out of the way, and his life, which is my life, is coming forth. That is the beauty of what God is doing. And they will illuminate everything throughout eternity. You talk about the power of the love of God, and I say, thank you, Jesus, for it. And finally then, brothers and sisters, in this wonderful little 19th verse, it goes on to say, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. See, this isn't just God's inheritance he's speaking of here, brothers and sisters. He's talking about his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And specifically, brothers and sisters, we're going to visit here his riches as a double portion. The inheritance of his riches in glory. This word riches means an abundance. It means an extra. It means an exceeding. It means the fulfillment. And yes, praise God, the double portion for him. I'm thankful to the Lord that he's showing us over and over throughout the Word of God that there is that double portion. And the double portion is, again, his inheritance, his exceeding. There's the daughter, but then there's the daughter-in-law. The vessel, praise God, but a vessel that is set aside only for the master's use. And as we see here, brothers and sisters, it is all by and through him. This is his life alone. The life of Christ in you and the life of Christ in me. Fully grown, the heir of God, the Lord of all, trained up, grown up. Praise the Lord to become a joint heir together with Jesus Christ. Aren't you thankful for the boldness that God has given you in your life? Aren't you just, I'm amazed. I'm thankful to God that again, he calls us out there, and he's chosen us, brothers and sisters. And we don't have to sneak around. We can go boldly. We can't take these enlarged steps that God has given us. We don't need to go sheepishly around. We're bold in the Lord. We're not belligerent, but we're not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, because it is the power of God. And I know the power of God is his love, and praise his name. That love, Jesus Christ, is for me. And I pray that this is thrilling our hearts, brothers and sisters. The reality of God's ultimate desire to us and in us, that we win his son, that we win him. See, we're not just in the pre-trials. We're not in the pre-races, as we say. We're in the finish. We're in the championship round, brothers and sisters. That we press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We learn from Brother David, he was delirious for the Lord. He was. Paul, too, was delirious for Jesus Christ. As we read earlier, it says, if by any means, whatever it takes, Lord, praise God. I believe he's leading us into that. We realize that, Lord, to win you, there's nothing that could compare. It is going to be a way that we would have never taken. But I will say that dark mile, praise the Lord, that he chose it for us and his grace has allowed us to walk it. But the marriage of the Lamb, I always rejoice in thinking about, and I understand the meaning and context that it has to Israel. But as those wise virgins who apprehended because their lamps were full of oil. And I pray to God that that always encourages us on. If we're going to go on, if we're going to be ready for our calling, it's going to be that same Holy Spirit. It's going to be a life full and overflowing. It's going to be a life by God's grace that has surrendered. And God, you know, and Lord, you have sent your Holy Spirit. And praise God, I just want to sit and I want to listen and I want to learn and I want to grow more of you. And I'm thankful for what you've chosen for this day for me. I get up, whether I have a job or whether I don't, tomorrow. By God's grace, will I give him praise? By his grace, I will. I rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. It's finally becoming convinced, brothers and sisters, that God does know the way I take, and that God has a divine plan and purpose, and that is that we win him. And I'm thankful to the Lord that as we come here tonight, and as we get up tomorrow, if the Lord tarry, that is our call. And we can be grounded and we can stand firm and assured in Christ and his calling. And as Brother Paul just thrilled in the souls of these Philippian saints, they were the lovers of the race. And I'm thankful to the Lord, brothers and sisters, that we too were lovers of the race. He's put that message in our hearts. And I would ask and pray fervently that we all would encourage one another, and that God would have us ready for a cold cup of water. You think the cold cup of water that Brother Paul received of them and that they received of Brother Paul, always ready to say, run on, run well, and praise the Lord, finish with joy. Let's stand and be dismissed.